हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीना अश्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 Om Bhadra. Really you have to mean it. Hereafter, when you chant the Shanti Mantra, see, place your attention in the meaning and let your words come out of your mouth. So that you are meaning it. What you are chanting, you are meaning. Isn't it? You mean what you pray for. Not mechanically doing it. Bhadraṁ karne viṣṇuyāma devāha भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ओम शांति 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 सो मांडुक्य उपनिषद इज द स्मॉलेस्ट उपनिषद कंसिस्टिंग ऑफ 12 मंत्रास But the study is very elaborate that we have to study the Upanishad with the Karika, the commentary in verse form. Generally, other commentaries like Adishankara Bhagavad-Pada's commentary, Shankara Bhashyam, for every word, there will be word by word commentary. He will give a meaning for each word. There's a different commentary. But this commentary, the Karika is a commentary in verse form, which is not a word by word commentary, but the commentary in the form of verses summarize the content of the mantras elaborately. It gives a much wider, expanded vision of the content of the mantras, so that our doubts are resolved. So here, the Atma is presented as a Chatushpad. Atma Chatushpad. Atma Chatushpad. Actually Chatushpad. Because Atma is said to be endowed with four aspects. Chatushpad Atma. And we have Sthula Atma, the first Prathama Padaha. Prathama Padaha, the first Pada of the Atma is known as Sthula Atma. The second Pada of the Atma is known as, the Dvitiya Padaha is known as Sukshma Atma. And Tritiya Padaha known as Karanatma, and we have Chaturtha Padaha as Turiya Atma. We know Atma is one indivisible, partless whole. But still we understand Atma as Chatushpad. The purpose of understanding Atma Chatushpad is to actually arrive at Atma being one indivisible, partless whole. Which is understood as the Turiya Atma. There is no fourth Atma. Turiyaha in Sanskrit language means Chaturthaha, fourth. There is no fourth Atma. Atma is not the fourth person also, fourth thing also. But still, Turiya Atma means, why Atma is known by the term Turiya Atma? Because Atma, which is there in every aspect, but at the same time, which is distinct from all the aspects, and which is like the fourth person, which is available, which is there, is said to be Chaturthuriya Atma, Chaturthatma. And I think the sixth mantra, the fifth and sixth mantras, two mantras actually deal with the Tritiya Padaha, Karanatma. Second mantra deals with Prathama, Sthulatma. Third mantra deals with Sukshmatma. Fourth mantra deals with Sukshmatma. Fifth and sixth deal with Karanatma. So we were seeing the last part. Let us start from that. Sixth. Because I want to start with Ishvara. That's why I'm starting from the sixth mantra. So the meaning of other mantras will be covered in the following karikas. So let us read the sixth mantra now. Yesha Sarveshwaraha. Yesha Sarvajnaha. Yeshontaryami. Yesha Yonis Sarvasya. Prabhavapyayauhi. Bhutanam. You can actually memorize this verse. Yesha Sarveshwaraha.
Yesha Sarveshwaraha.
Yesha Sarvajnaha.
Yesha Sarvajnaha.
Yeshontaryami.
Yeshontaryami.
Yesha Yonis Sarvasya.
Yesha Yonis Sarvasya.
Prabhavapyayauhi Bhutanam.
Prabhavapyayauhi Bhutanam.
I, the Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness. I, the Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness, obtaining in the waking state, is known as Thulatma. Same I, the consciousness, the Atma Chaitanyam, obtaining in the dream state is Sukshmatma, and I, the consciousness, Atma Chaitanyam, obtaining in deep sleep state is Karanatma. Here, Karanatma, the consciousness obtaining in deep sleep state, is said to be Karanatma, because Karanatma is the Jagat Karanam, cause of the universe. How do you understand this? In deep sleep state, Sthula prapanchaha is resolved, sukshma prapanchaha is resolved, the gross subtle universes are resolved, differentiation of objects is not there, they all remain as one undifferentiated, unmanifest form. Therefore, the entire universe remains in potential condition. So the potential, anything potential is the karanam, cause. Anything in potential form is what? The cause. The seed is the cause, because in the seed the tree is in potential condition. Like here also, when the I, in which everything remains in potential form, is also what? Karanam, Jagat Karanam. And Jagat Karanam means definitely there must be efficient cause or the intelligent cause, and there must be material cause also. So I, the Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness, here known as Karanatma, am both material and the intelligent cause. So when you talk about the intelligent cause implies the knowledge how to create, the knowledge, the total all knowledge of creation, all total knowledge and also skill together constitute the intelligent cause. The intelligent cause implies what? The total knowledge and skill. All the knowledge required for the manifestation or creation of everything is not outside of consciousness. Therefore, the total knowledge and also the skill is not mere knowledge. Mere knowledge is not enough. The skill also is required. The knowledge and skill together form the intelligent cause. Therefore, Karanatma is the intelligent cause with what? Knowledge and skill. So the knowledge also is not outside of I, not outside of me. The skill also is not outside of me. Therefore, the intelligent cause, the Karanatma being both intelligent, the intelligent cause, the skill and knowledge being both, is implied by two words here, meant by two words here. Sarveshwaraha, Yeshaha Sarveshwaraha. And then Yeshaha Sarvajnaha. The word Sarveshwaraha stands for the Karanatma being endowed with all the skills. The one who is endowed with all the skills is the Lord. Sarveshwaraha, Sarva Ishwaraha. All the skills required for the creation. Is there? All the skills are there. The one who is endowed with all the skills is Ishwaraha, Sarveshwaraha. And also the knowledge required also is there, all knowledge. Or all knowing. Therefore, we have another word, Eshaha Sarvajnaha. So this Karanatma, the intelligent cause, endowed with knowledge and skill, is meant by two words, Sarveshwaraha and Sarvajnaha. Two words are used there. So to create this small table, the carpenter's knowledge how to make this table, that knowledge is the intelligent cause. And he has the knowledge, he also has got a skill to make it. The skill and knowledge. So the carpenter, the intelligent cause, is endowed with what? The knowledge how to make this, and also the skill. Together form the intelligent cause. And the wood required for making it is what? The material cause. And here we say the whole entire jagat, the entire jagat, the intelligent cause and the material cause, both are one and the same Atma. So material cause, how do you know? It's another word here. Yesha yoni sarvasya. Yeshaha sarvasya yonihi. The word yonihi means the material cause. Sarvasya yonihi. Yonihi, that out of which something is born, is called yoni. Therefore, that out of which something is made, something has come into existence, is yoni. So the whole jagat, what is the yoni? Isn't it? What is the material cause? The word yonihi stands for material cause. Or mention, no. Then sarvajnaha sarveshwaraha stand for intelligent. Karnatma being the intelligent cause is meant by these two words. Karnatma being the material cause is meant by the word yonihi. Sarvasya yonihi. Cause, material cause of everything. Once it is a material cause, it must be all pervasive. Is it? It must be all pervasive, because material cause pervades everything. They are all pervasive. There were three words here. So Karanatma, the Tritiya Padaha, as the Karanatma, is the intelligent cause and the material cause. Means here we say the word sarvajnaha, the word sarveshwaraha stands for omnipotence, and the word sarvajnaha stands for omniscience, and yonihi stands for omnipresence. So the one who is endowed with all the three is what? Omniscience, omnipresence and omnipotence is Antaryami Ishwaraha. Antaryami Ishwaraha. Now you can say, who is Antaryami? Antaryami. Antaryami is a word used to mean the Tritiya Padaha, the Karanatma. Karanatma means what? Karanatma means I, the Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness, am the both the material and the intelligent causes of the jagat. So here they said, Yeshaha Antaryami, Yeshaha Sarvasya Yonihi, which means Prabhavaha Apyayaha, he Bhutanam. Bhutanam, of all the beings, the source of creation and resolution of all the beings is this Karanam. Like just as water is the source of originate creation and the resolution of all the waves, similarly for all the beings, the source of creation and resolution is what? This Atma, the Karanam. The word Karanatma is presented here. Now we have to think, if we see three different forms, or three different ornaments, the chain, the bangle, and a ring. We can think, take each ornament as each pada. Chain is one padaha. Bangle is another padaha. Another aspect. Then ring is another padaha. Three different padas. But here basically gold is the only vastu which is there in and through all the three forms with all three different names. So the forms are different, names are different. So because the forms are different, appearances are different. The names are also different. Appearance of chain is different from the appearance of bangle. Appearance of bangle is different from appearance of ring. Each form differs, appearance differs from each other, every other appearance. So appearances are different. Therefore names are also different. But basically all the three are one and the only gold. Similarly here, sukshthulatma, sukshmatma, karanatma. We see, in all the three are three different names for three different appearances of the only consciousness, Chaitanyam, Atma, Chaitanyam, Brahma. Because there is no such substance called, there is no substance called chain. There is no substance called bangle. There is no substance called ring. Three different substantives which are meaningless without the substance called gold. The actual only substance is gold. Bangle, chain or ring are not the substances. They are only substantives which have no substantiality. The only substance is the gold. Isn't it? In the same way, here also Karanatma, Sthulatma, Sukshmatma are three different substantives. There is no substance called Karanatma, there is no substance called Sukshmatma, there is no substance called Sthulatma. The only substance is the Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness. Three different appearances. Therefore, here, what is that? The substance which is without this appearance, without these forms, without the form called chain, without the form called bangle, without the form called ring. What is that substance by itself? The substance is gold. Similarly, what is that substance without this disguise, without this form, this sthula, the gross form, subtle form and causal form, without these forms, what is that actual substance, the only substance, which appears, which alone appears in three different forms with the three different names? Now that substance alone is said to be what? Turiya Atma. I'm slowly coming back to the class. The substance alone is called Turiya Atma. The Atma Chaitanyam is the Turiya Atma, which is without this appearances, the forms and names. So that is discussed in the 7th mantra. Turiya Atma is discussed in the 7th mantra. So now, and before going to the 7th mantra, to know the actual, what is that Atma Chaitanyam, the only substance appearing in three different forms, with three different names, without which these three forms are not possible, without which threefold experiences are not possible. That is discussed in the seventh mantra. Before going there, in between, now we study the Karika, the commentary, Karikas. So we have to enter this Karikas now. Bahih prajno vibhur vishvo. Hyantav prajnyastu taijasaha. Ghana prajnyastatha prajnyaha. Yeka yeva tridha smritaha. Bahih prajno vibhur vishvo. Hyantav prajnyastu taijasaha. Ghana prajnyastatha prajnyaha. Yeka yeva tridha smritaha. So before we enter into the seventh mantra, we come across, we study the nine karikas. There are nine karikas. And of the nine karikas, the first five karikas comment upon the first five mantras. First five karikas comment upon first five mantras. And which means the first five mantras deal with what? The first five mantras deal with three padas of the Atma. All the six mantras, you know, all the six mantras deal with what? Only three padas. Sthulatma, Sukshmatma, Karanatma, the Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya, first, second, third padas of the Atma are the subject matter which form the first mantra, these mantras, six mantras. So these mantras are discussed here, elaborately commented upon by this following five karikas. And how it is presented? The first karika presents in a nutshell all the three padas. All the three padas now together are presented in the first karika. So you can say padatrayam. First three karikas which are presented in the first karika. The second karika, which I haven't read actually, the second karika presents the sthanatrayam, three locations of three padas. The second karika presents the three locations for three padas. And here we should be very careful. There is no clear location for each pada. But still, this second karika, in the second karika, Gaudapada Acharya presents the locations for the three padas. Different each location for each pada for the purpose of meditation. Upasana nimittam. Okay? For the sake of for the purpose of meditation, he presents these locations for each pada. And the locations for the padas location for each pada actually are not mentioned in the Upanishad. Here be very careful. In Mandukya Upanishad, locations for each pada are not presented in the actual Upanishad. But Gaudapada Acharya, he introduces, he adds in between the locations for padas. Okay, for Prathama Pada, this is the location in the body. For Dvitiya Pada, this is the location in the body. For Tritiya Pada, this is the location in the body. He introduces Gaudapada Acharya. And here the doubt might come, why does he introduce? Does he introduce himself? We have to be, no, he does not introduce himself. Even though these locations for the different padas in the given, in the body are not presented by the Mandukya Upanishad, Gaudapada Acharya in his commentary upon this Upanishad, he introduces these three locations for the purpose of meditation. Means, how does he do it? He borrows this idea from Brihadaranyaka Chandogya Upanishads, other Upanishads. Because other Upanishads present these locations for each pada, for all the padas. For what? For us to practice upasanam. So we should also remember very well, the locations are present only for the purpose of meditation. That we should not forget. So the second karika presents locations for the three padas in the body for the purpose of meditation. Therefore we can say sthanatrayam is discussed in the second karika. Is it clear now? For padatrayam, first karika discusses the three padas of the atma. Second karika presents the three locations of three padas for the purpose of meditation. The third karika presents the threefold experiences of the three padas. What is the experience the sthulatma goes through? What is the experiences of the sukshmatma? What is the experience of the karanatma? So, three different experiences enjoyed, or three different experiences associated with three different states, isn't it? That is presented in the third karika. Okay, you can say anubhavatrayam. So, padatrayam, sthanatrayam, then anubhavatrayam. Or you can say bhogatrayam. So, experience associated with each pada. There are threefold experiences associated with three different padas, you know, are discussed in the third karika. Then, the fourth karika presents the triptihi, triptitrayam. That means, what pleases the each pada? What is that which satisfies, which brings about satisfaction on the part of each pada? Tarpanam. What is that which brings about satisfaction on the part of sthulatma, asukshmatma and karanatma? So threefold, you know, satisfaction brought about. What is it which brings the satisfaction on the part of the each pada? That is discussed in the fourth karika. That is, in the four karikas, these are all the things discussed. Three padas, three locations of three padas, threefold experiences of three padas, and threefold, you know, satisfaction. on the part of three padas are discussed here. So this much we should remember. Then we can enter into the actual study of the karikas. Just to for you to understand, remember. So as we have already seen, the three padas are presented in a nutshell in the first karika. Bahih prajno vibhur vishva. Hyantah prajnastu taijasaha. Ghana prajnastatha prajnaha. Yeka yeva tridha smritaha. Yekaha yeva. This is very important word. Yekaha eva. One alone. Only Atma alone. The only consciousness alone. Yekaha yeva. The only self alone. Yekaha yeva. Tridha smritaha. Smritaha literally means remembered. One alone, only Atma alone is known in three different forms or with three different names. Tridha, in threefold, Tridha forms with three different names. This Upanishad does not present this. Upanishad only talks about three: Sthulatma, Sukshmatma, Karanatma. Does not mention this. But Gaudapada Acharya, in his very first karika, he says all the three are what? The only appearances of the only Atma. Yekaha eva, yekaha eva. Tridha smritaha. The eva is an indeclinable word in Sanskrit language. Eva is always emphasizes. To emphasize something, you use this term word eva. Ekaha. Ekaha tridha smritaha. Atma, you know, is said to be appearing in three forms. Ekaha eva. Atma, the only consciousness. That means that eva emphasizes there is no second thing, other second substance other than Atma. Ekaha eva tridha smritaha. Undredan mundraga sollapadigirathu. Ekaha eva. As what? One alone, only Atma is known by three different names, appearing in three different forms means, what are they? First he says, Bahih prajno vibhur vishva. There you get, if you have to split the word here, Bahih prajnaha. Vibhuhu Vishvaha. Three words. Take it now. Bahif Prajnaha Vibhuhu Vishvaha. The three words stand for Sthulatma. Prathama Padaha. The Prathama Padaha, the first aspect of the Atma, known as Sthulatma, is meant by these three words. Bahif prajnaha vibhuhu vishvaha. Later on, we split it. Hyantaf prajnaha. There again, he plus antaf prajnaha. He plus antaf prajnaha. Hyantaf prajnaha. Antaf prajnaha tu taijasaha. Tu means whereas. antahprajnaha taijasaha. These two words stand for sukshmatma, the dvitiya padaha. Antahprajnaha taijasaha. Then third, next line, see the next line. Ganaprajnaha tatha prajnaha. Ganaprajnaha tatha prajnaha. Those words represent karanatma, the tritiya padaha of the atma. Third aspect of the atma. Ganaprajnaha tatha prajnaha. Now you see, what is the first here? The prathama padaha sthulatma. Sthulatma means what? Sthulatma is the knower and the known, both knower and the known obtaining in the waking state is what? Sthulatma. The knower and the known obtaining in the waking state is sthulatma. So here Vishwaha. So Vishwaha is the sthulatma. Vishwaha is sthulatma. Who is sthulatma here? Who is the prathama pada? First aspect of the atma here. Bahih prajnaha. Who is Vishwaha? Vishwaha is sthulatma. Again I tell you, please remember. The knower and the known, pramata and the prameyam obtaining in the waking state is sthulatma prathama padaha. So I, the atma chaitanyam, the consciousness obtaining in the waking state in the form of knower and the known is what? The sthulatma prathama padaha. And he is known as what? Vishwaha. And this, who is Vishwaha? The Vishwaha is Bahif Prajnaha. Bahif Prajnaha means what? No, Bahif Prajnaha. One who is turned extrovert. Bahif Prajnaha. One who is turned extrovert. Bahif Prajnaha. Extroverted I. The tangible, gross, physicalized I, extroverted I, obtaining in the waking state is what? Here, Vishwaha Sthulatma. And this Vishwaha is also what? Vibhuhu. Vibhuhu means vividam bhati iti vibhuhu. The one who shines as everything here is vibhuhu. All the gross forms which shine is what now? Vibhuhu means all pervasive, all pervading, actually virat. Virat means what now? The total gross universe. Therefore, ID consciousness, the Atma Chaitanyam, identified with microcosmic sthulam is Vishwaha. ID Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness, identified with macrocosmic universe, gross universe, is called Virat. So Vishwaha and Virat together is what? The Pramata and Prameyam. The knower and the known obtaining in waking state, identified with the gross, microcosmic, macrocosmic, microcosmic being and the macrocosmic gross universe is Thulatma. Is it clear or not? Vibhu, Vishwaha, Virat. Vibhu, what's the word for Vibhu? Virat. Have you understood or not? Yeah. I am coming back to the class. So you're also coming back to the class, I think. Really, I'm touching the book after 5-6 months. Not after 6 months, maybe after three, four months. So first 3 words. Have you got it now? So this pair, knower and the known, both together are what? Sthulatma. Prathma padaha. But which knower, which known? Obtaining in the waking state. So what is it obtaining in the waking state? The gross, tangible, isn't it? Microcosmic and macrocosmic beings here. Vishwaha and Virat or Vibhu together form the Sthulatma. It is what now? Bahipragyaha. It is turned extrovert. Is it clear now? This is Sthulatma Prathama Padaha. Now read the next one. Antahpragnyastu Taijasaha. So, antahpragyaha, taijasaha, who is taijasaha? The dvitiya padaha, sukshmatma, is known by the word taijasaha. Taijasaha is what now is not a gross, not identified with the gross form, but intangible, subtle, imperceptible. Isn't it? Intangible, subtle, thought form. I mean subtle thought form. Taijasaha. So I, the Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness, obtaining in dream state, identified with subtle, intangible, thought body. Thought body is what? Known as taijasaha. So there again, the knower and the known, obtaining in dream state, are identified with, associated with thought objects, thought forms and thought names. It's called what now? Sukshmatma taijasaha. And this taijasaha is not turned extrovert, but turned introvert. Why do we say here? Because here the sense organs are not used. In dream, sense organs are not used. Without using the sense organs, there is perception of the subtle universe. Therefore, we call one of, that's why introvert, turned introvert. Taijasaha is turned introvert. So, introverted, so you can say vasanamaya prapanchaha. Vasanamaya means in dream, every object is what? Your thought. Every body, everything that you experience in dream is just a thought. We should not, you know, in dream you never have anything tangible. But it looks so real. When you are experiencing the dream, everything you experience in dream looks tangible. Isn't it? During your dream experience, what you experience looks tangible. But really speaking, it is all intangible. Everything is in the thought. Every object you experience in your dream is a thought. Vasanamaya. It is not elemental. It's not gross. But when do you know that? Only on waking up. Oh my God, the person I saw, the bus I traveled by, the ice cream I ate, the cough I suffered with, everything is what? The thought. that you have to know only on waking up. So Vasanamaya Prapancha. So there also there's a knower identified with, isn't it? Vasanamaya microcosmic being. There also known. There's a knower and known. Both Pramata and Prameyam. Obtaining in the dream state. Associated with the intangible thought created objects. As by introvert. Okay, turned introvert means what? Because sense organs are not used for experiencing the dream world. That Atma is what knows. Dvitiya Padaha, second Pasukshmatma, called Taijasaha. Taijasaha Antapragnyaha Sukshmatma Dvitiya Padaha. So this is a second appearance, isn't it? For that is one appearance, this is another appearance. The both are what? Both are only substantives. What is the substance there? Sthulatma, isn't it? The sthula prapancha, sukshma prapancha. What is the actual substance there? Atma chaitanyam. Ekaha atma eva. Then we go to the next one. So Karanatma also is presented here. Gana prajnaha tatha prajnaha. Prajnaha. So the tritiya padaha of the Atma, known as Karanatma, is who now is prajnaha. Prajnaha. So Atma gets the name prajnaha. Atma Chaitanyam, I the Atma Chaitanyam, the consciousness gets the name as prajnaha. Obtaining in deep sleep state. Associated with what? Unmanifest, undifferentiated, knower, known, all the forms and names. In deep sleep, in Karanatma, so in Karana, in deep sleep state also, there are forms, there are names, there is knower, there is the known, isn't it? Everything is there, but all of them remain undifferentiated, unmanifest, as one mass of consciousness. One mass of consciousness. There are also knower known. There are also objects. All of them remain as one mass of consciousness, as unmanifest, undifferentiated. Potential. So the Atma Chaitanyam, ended with all the potential Namarupas, undifferentiated, knower, known, differences, is it? Undifferentiated form is what now? Prajnaha. So the Karanatma is what? The knower, known, obtaining in the Prajnaha. And this Prajnaha, we say now, Ghana Prajnaha. Why Ghana Prajnaha? See, Vishvaha Bahih Prajnaha. Taijasaha Antah Prajnaha. Prajnaha Ghana Prajnaha. You have to remember all the three words, okay? Vishvaha Atma Chaitanya, Atma obtaining in the waking state, associated with the gross tangible names and forms is what? Vishvaha. Isn't it? Vishvaha is what now? Bahih Prajnaha. Turned extrovert. Taijasaha, same Atma Chaitanyam obtaining in dream state, associated with what? Only thought names and forms, thought created universe, thought created names and forms, introvert, is it turned introvert, is taijasaha antapragnaha. Whereas prajnaha, the atma obtaining in deep sleep state, associated or identified with what? Undifferentiated, unmanifest names and forms is called ganapragnaha. Why? Because in deep sleep state, all the knowledge, all my knowledge remain undifferentiated. Isn't all my knowledge remain unmanifest, undifferentiated as one mass of consciousness? The ganapragna. So here Gaudapada, in Mandukya Upanishad, you will understand very clearly there is no matter. The tangible matter, there is no tangible matter other than consciousness. There is no tangible matter other than intangible consciousness. Because only substance, only when we say you are negating the existence of second thing, second substance. Okay? Ye kaha yeva tridha smritaha. Is there a knower other than Atma, the consciousness? No. Is there the known other than Atma, the consciousness? No. Are they two, the knower and the known? Both are Atma, the consciousness. The subtle and the gross are all Atma, the consciousness. They're all unmanifest, undifferentiated, also nothing but Atma, the consciousness. I am the knower, this is the known. This difference is manifest when it is differentiated. Only when the universe, everything is manifest, then this differentiation also is there. I am the knower, this is the known, knower, known, this differentiation is only in manifestation. So also in dream, there's a dream knower and dream known. That differentiation is only in subtle manifestation. But in deep sleep state, is there a knower? There is a knower, but do you know that you are the knower? I am the knower, this is the known. The difference is not there, isn't it? I am the knower, you are not aware of. This is the known, you are not aware of. Which means what? You have to wake up. The knower, known, all are, all everything, all the knowledge remain now as one undifferentiated mass of consciousness. Then we call what? Everything is in potential form. Everything is in potential form means anything potential is the karanam. So we call it karanatma. Karanatma means karanam, cause. Why do we call it cause? Because from that alone everything becomes manifest. It's only for our understanding. Therefore, all these are different forms, and the different names, actually they do not have substantiality, which means the substance is the only Atma. Ekaha eva tridha smritaha. So first three padas are briefly presented in a nutshell in this first karika. Bahiv pragno vibhur vishvo. Hyanta pragnastu taijasaha. Gana pragnastatha pragnaha. Eka eva tridha smritaha. Three are one. So in our Puranic language, we say what? Virat Vishwaha. Virat, when you say Mahavishnuhu. Then, next we say, this Taijasaha. So, Vishwaha is non-separate from Virat. Please understand here. Vishwaha is non-separate from Virat. The knower is non-separate from the known. Taijasaha is non-separate from Hiranyagarbha. Prajnaha is non-separate from Antaryami. So Virat is equal to Vishnu, Hiranyagarbha is equal to Brahma, Antaryami is equal to Ishwaraha or Shivaha, personified in Puranas. In Tamil we say, Ariyam Shivanam Unnu Ariyadavan Vaila Mannu. If when they quarrel, who is superior? Shiva is superior, Vishnu is superior. You don't have the problem. Who is superior? And there are Vaishnava devotees who claim Vishnu is superior. Virat is superior. There are devotees who claim Lord Shiva is superior. Nobody claims this Brahma is superior, okay? Nobody knows that because it's too subtle to talk about. They leave him alone. And these the Shiva Bhaktas, the Vishnu, we don't say Brahma Bhaktas, okay? We only have Shiva Bhaktas, Vishnu Bhaktas. Quarrel. It's a big problem. We have big history about it, okay? Lots of historical stories, not stories, real incidents. And then somebody said this, both Lord Shiva and Vishnu are one and the same. If you don't know, there is mud in your mouth. Clay in your buddhi. This is the first three padas. Okay. So you want to break now? Tea break? Go and come back. So any doubts?
When one thinks about one going to sleep, it's the individual consciousness which sort of disappears, and until really that is where the question arises. Say when somebody dies, does it just does it become human?
Becoming shunya means what? What do you mean?
Well, I can follow the argument that the weakness is there all the time. But one is that there may be a situation where there is no weakness at all. The individual the consciousness that's there whilst one is awake. Or one is dreaming. and I appreciate that when you wake up, you still find yourself in the same place and recognize. But all the same, there could be a situation where one gets one doesn't wake up.
Yeah.
That was Sunday morning.
You mean that death happens? What if death happens, you're asking?
Yes.
In sleep.
It's prarabdha which makes you wake up.
Yeah.
But what is there might be
no, even if a person doesn't wake up, suppose even if somebody doesn't wake up, okay, as he is sleeping, he dies, somebody dies. Still, that person will wake up in the next janma, in the next new body. Definitely he'll wake up. But the problem is, you will not know if he will wake up or not. When he wakes up also, he will not know. You know, he'll wake up in a completely new atmosphere, the new mom and dad, the new tiny body, and not knowing that I'm waking up newly. Only difference. Waking up is there. Waking up is definitely there. But you will not know. That we understand, that is why we only, all this analysis of experiences, we analyze each set of experience and actually to understand the fact. So in the light of the knowledge of what you understand when you analyze these experiences, you understand that there is witness, sakshi. The sakshi chaitanyam, sakshi, that witness, again, we can't say consciousness is the witness, we never say. Because witnessing is not an action of consciousness. But there is a witness, and that witness is none other than consciousness. That is what we arrive at. We never say consciousness is the witness. Our chaitanyam is the sakshi. We should not say it. We never say that. But there is a witness. Why do we say there is a witness? Because there is witnessed. There cannot be the witnessed without the witness. Witnessed is the proof for the witness being there. And the witness is there means who that witness is, what that witness is. That witness is, you resolve the witness in consciousness. Witness is none other than consciousness. Only through the witness you arrive at consciousness. Because there is a witness. There is a witness. And you search for the witness. Witness is. Where the witness is, who the witness is. Then you'll stumble upon consciousness. You mean you resolve the witness in consciousness. Resolving means intellectually. Like the same example I give always. You know, all of us can see all of us now. Because all our eyes are bright and all of us can see all of us. Because all our forms and all our dress, all our colors are illumined, well lit, so we can perceive. Which means all our forms, even though they're live, not like table, but still there's no light, means all our bodies are opaque. Live bodies are opaque like the insentient table and chair. So then we cannot see each other now. Now we can see each other, which itself is what? The proof is how we're able to see each other. Because all our forms, our bodies are well lit, well illumined, which means there is illumination. Illumined means there is illumination. And the illumination is there means what? There is illuminator here. Isn't it? So when you are seeing the illumined, you are definitely seeing the illumination, you are seeing the illuminator as well. Without knowing that you are seeing the illuminator. In fact, the very perception of the illumined itself is what? In the very presence, in the very existence of the illuminator. Where do you see the illumined? You see the illumined in the very illuminator, in the very existence, in the very presence of the illuminator, you are seeing the illumined. But your attention is totally held by the illumined. Your attention is not paid to the illuminator. You do not know that you are seeing everything in the presence of the illuminator. Therefore, you are asked now to distinguish you are made to think. See, you are already seeing the illuminator. But your attention is really grabbed by the Shastram. It says, come on. Are they all opaque? Aren't they all opaque? Yes. But do they all shine? Yes. How? Because they're all illumined. How? Because there's illumination. Then there must be illuminator? Yes. That means, come on, you shift your attention from the illumined to the illuminator. Only when you're shifting our attention from the illumined to the illuminator, you understand you are already seeing the illuminator. You are not something newly seeing. You are already seeing the illuminator. Isn't it true? It's something very important. You are already seeing the illuminator. Not that you are seeing the illuminator only now. You are already seeing the illuminator. Only thing you have to be reminded, just your attention has to be shifted. You are stopped, attention is taken away, you are made to see the illuminator. You are made to see the illuminator, illumined also need not be, is not pushed. Other side. Illumined is as it is. Illumination is as it is. Illuminator is as it is. All that is done is you are seeing the illuminator already as you are seeing the illumined. When you are told that you are already seeing the illuminator, you help to distinguish that. You're made to know there is an illuminator, yes. You're already seeing the illuminator. Now, come on, focus only on the illuminator. And ask this question, who this illuminator is. Nothing is said here which is against your reasoning.
I think the confusion I have is this, what you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, at this time I'm coming to the point. These things as an example to make you understand that. So then you search for the illuminator, you understand this illuminator. This illuminator is none other than the light. Is it? There is light. And that is when you arrive at the substance called light. And you're resolving the illuminator in the light cognitively. The purpose is served, isn't it? Then now you don't need to see the illuminator, illumination, nothing. You have arrived at the light. Isn't it? Arrived at the light. Once you arrive at the light, the purpose is served. Similarly, here also, the Shastram uses these three even states of experience also. Analysis of the three states of experience, avasthatraya, prakriya, is used. And then every state of experience, the experienced is, because experience is because the experiencer is. The experiencer, who the experiencer is. Because the experienced is different. Therefore, experience of the different object is there. It means there is experiencer. In every state of experience, there is an experiencer. Object changes, experience changes, the experiencer is one and the same. Experiencer does not change. And that experiencer, we otherwise call what we say witness, sakshi. That witness, again you ask who this experiencer is. Who is this distinct from? When there is experience, there is an experiencer along with the experience. But we never paid attention to the experiencer. So we are helped to distinguish the experiencer from the experience. What the experience is, what the experience is, and thereby distinguish the experiencer from the experience, and see that experiencer is, ask the question, who is knower is, experiencer is, you arrive at the, again stumble upon him, consciousness. Then you cognitively resolve the experiencer in consciousness, or witness in consciousness, or knower in consciousness, you arrive at the vastu. This vastu is ekam, which is only substance, which is timeless, spatially limitless, it's always there. But what comes and goes, even the sense, I am, is not there. That is why when you, suppose somebody dies, somebody is every day you go to bed and wake up next day, I am, I am, I am, I am. Every day you wake up, I am. I am, then this is. I am, this is. Fall asleep, no, I am goes, this also goes. Nothing is. But you are there. I am resolves, isn't it? That's why a mass of consciousness, I said. In sleep, without the knowledge I am, without the knowledge the universe is, there is vastu. The vastu remains as vastu, there is no I sense, there is no this sense also. When there is I sense, that is what is called a waking up. Waking up means what? When there is I sense, only then there can be this sense. Aham must be there, then you can say idam is there, isn't it? You can never say, no, I didn't know whether I was, but I knew very well this was. Can you ever say that? I don't think I am. I don't know what this is. Can you ever say that? Never can you say. You have to come first, I am. Only following you, only this universe comes. If you are not there, this jagat cannot be. The universe is big because you are there, you are, therefore the universe is. If you are not there, there's no universe. This pronoun, one pronoun, isn't it, just stands for the whole known prapancha, the entire known. The entirety of the known, isn't it, is indicated by one pronoun, this, idam jagat. One word is enough, idam. That is possible when one pronoun, aham. Without aham, there is no idam. Here the thing is very important. That is why I am, Swamiji always asks this. The universe is, therefore I see. I see, therefore the universe is. Which expression is correct? I see, therefore the universe is. If I do not see, the universe is as good as not there, non-existent. And I, isn't it? It's called waking up, manifestation, vritti, aham vritti. One that comes in idam vritti, manifests. Then the difference also, knower, known. I, this. You fall asleep, idam goes. Why? Because I go. I goes, then idam also, this also goes. When it resolves, there is no difference. I, this difference is not there. Thungita naan enge, nee enge. You fall asleep, where is I, where is you, where is this? Isn't it? Once you fall asleep, where is I? Where is this? Where is you? Where the differences? No differences are there. Differences are there for you. You are not yourself. How can there be differences for you? Nothing. Isn't it? That waking up, every day you wake up. I am. I am. Every day, see, like today, even to enjoy this Saturday, this date, May, you know, this place, this particular eatable has to be, you know, it's a part of the list, what has to go in, okay? Amazing. We don't really take things for granted. Every small bit of pain and pleasure, well calculated and brought, okay? Ordained. Just you are there to go through that. Given time, place, everything. That goes. And then every day wake up. One day, the wife tells, we were talking together last night, then he went to bed, we went to bed, I woke up in the morning, I came back, and I kept, as usual, I took the tea to him, cup of tea. But I kept the tea next to him. It was there these days. He didn't wake up. And others say, very good death. Others will say, without any suffering, very good death. No, no suffering, nothing. If anybody goes, falls asleep and does not wake up and goes by there, it means really good death. So the person after the death, that is when it's like you think, no? Oh, nothing is there. Actually, it's like in sleep. How you are in sleep, so you will be in death. So it becomes a longer sleep. Somebody dies in death. Sir, in sleep, it's like a longer sleep. And when you wake up again, then that what happens to that, isn't it? Then prarabdha determines, ordains a new shariram. And then other only when all 9 months, and all this Bhagavatam says, all that you go through, and then you are born, and when you wake up, aham. Idam is different. Everything is different. Only thing, you don't know the connection. That is the mind. That is some, our chittam has some limitation. It's completely off. We don't remember anything of the past. Suppose if we remember, means what, all of us will be remembering all our previous parents, previous Janma's parents. You know, previous Janma's parents and previous Janma's grandparents and then relatives and then wives and husbands and then children, my God. And then all the previous vengeance, previous anger, previous jealousy, hatred, and all those things will continue. In a way, it's good. Completely washed off. You wake up new. But only, what is the, from our subconscious, certain things will surface. That is what punya papa, pain and pleasure. That surfacing is, you know, that's what in keeping with Parabdha. That's why it's like asto shunyam. It's not shunyam. Isn't it? Because the question comes. Because in sleep, what is there? That is where the Buddhist and Advaitin differs. In deep sleep state, what is there? Where is Siddham? Where is I? Nothing is there. Nothing is there. Nothing is there means nothing is experienced as an object. But nothing is experienced is experienced. This experience of the nothingness. But that experience of the nothingness cannot be shared as you are experiencing the nothingness. That is the problem. When do you talk about the experience of nothingness? Only on waking up. As you are sleeping, as you are not experiencing anything, can you talk about the experience of nothingness? Now I don't experience anything. That you cannot say. That is why it looks as though nothing is there. But who is that one who can, on waking up, who can recollect the experience? See, if you are able to, nothing I have experienced, and waking up you are able to say, which means the experience was there. The experiencer was there. The experiencer recollected the experience and able to talk. Therefore, what is said, the experiencer, that experiencer is what? Was very much there. Isn't it? That experiencer, we say, is the witness, Sakshi, Chaitanyam. That's why it's very, 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 is very natural for us to think there's nothing is there. There's shunyam. Suppose even if you wake up from sleep, then even somebody passes away, also what happens? The same thing. It's like just going back to sleep. Death, the minute, death is what? We have already taught you in Dhritarishya Veka class. What is death? Only Parabdha ends, the Sukshma leaves. It finds some excuse happens, okay, something happens. Then Sukshma leaves, one is the minute it leaves the physical body, everything is off, like in sleep. The mind is non-functional, the sense powers become non-functional. Even pranas become non-functional. The minute it leaves, everything is non-functional. Non-functional Sukshma is non-relatable. See, the Sukshma cannot, the Sukshma is functional. For the Sukshma to be functional, it must obtain in the Sthulam. This is the thing. Without the Sthulam, the Sukshma by itself can exist, but it cannot be functional. The non-functional Sukshma is non-relatable. So, Sukshma can be related only when it is functional. For it to be functional, it should be with the Sukshma, Sthula. And only in the presence of the Sukshma, the Sthula can be alive also. See, without the presence of the Sukshma, Sthula will be dead. Without the Sthulam, Sukshma will be non-functional. Not dead, but non-functional. Therefore, non-relatable. That is why for us there is a big vacuum. Sthula becomes disintegrated, Sukshma is non-relatable, imperceptible. So nothing is there. That is why you feel a big vacuum. We want something to relate to. You can't relate to the Sukshma, even though the person is alive. The Sukshma continues. That's why we say called the Jiva Yatra. There's a book called Jiva Yatra, text called Jiva Yatra. Then Yatra. It leaves this body and it goes to another pilgrim center. Jivasya Yatra. Journey of the soul. Again, then that in-between period, before the birth, after the death, the sukshma, isn't it, is non-relatable, non-functional, but alive. The sukshma is as good as non-existent. Non-existent. Because it's non-relatable, isn't it? For you, what happens? What is the condition of that? It's like remaining in sleep. We can be 100% sure. After the death, we'll all be in long sleep. What will happen to me after the death? What will happen to me? You cannot see your own body being cremated. The sukshma goes out, stands aside and sees the body being cremated. You cannot relate to. Sukshma cannot, when the non-functional sukshma, isn't it? Non-functional cannot, there's no perception, nothing is. You cannot see your own physical body being cremated or anything. You cannot feel the pain of it also. You cannot even see. You cannot even know what's happening around. Nor can others not relate to you as sukshma.
Shruti talks of heaven.
In keeping with your parabdha, you have a lot of punyam. Then they say you go to higher lokas and all that. There again, that is why, without the gross physical body, whatever you experience you have, after some time, okay, that's all the experiences you have in heaven are like going through experiences in dream. Suppose when you fall asleep, and you dream, no? You go through a dream. And in dream, suppose you have long, very good dream, 2-3 hours of dream. Imagine. 2-3 hours. Dream time is very fast, you know that. Imagine, suppose it's not possible for one to dream for many long hours. But even if one dreams, but when you wake up, it looks a whole night to dreamt. But you would have dreamt only a few minutes, few seconds. The whole night you don't dream, really speaking. But it looks as though you would have dreamt the whole night. The whole night the fellow was chasing you. That's how you feel when you wake up. And the dream, what all, so you go to different places, you see people, you talk to people, and you do. So, no, you the whole journey you can dream. Which airport you get down and which places you see and which hotels you stay, which food you eat and who are the people you see, what are things you like, you bought, you put in, everything, whole dream you have. And that's a really pleasure. In the dream itself you talk about your journeys and pleasures. You know, I went here, I enjoyed this, you know, how nice that particular, you know, this Badusha in Mauritius was very good. All these things you can talk about. And once you wake up, all that you should know is all in all vasana maya. Only thought. Every small object you experience in your dream is only thought. Just the thought. Thought object. It is not all tangible, but it is real when you are dreaming. It is all real. Real car, real bus, real suite, real places, real objects. Everything is real, real, real. Is it tangible? No, just a thought. But when do you know it is a thought? On waking up. It's real only for you. Similarly, any heavenly pleasure, what you experience after death, before you assume this human body and you're born again here, that experience is like the dream experience. The dream sukham. Heavenly sukham is like the dream sukham because all thought, vasanamaya. It's not that really how you are sitting here in the physical with the physical body and eat these things and drink these things and all this. See these people like that in heaven, like how you go from here to, you know, some other place and then you watch, see everything like a traveling from here to other place and then, no. It's all absolutely your own mind. There is no swargaha outside of your mind. There is no hell outside of your mind. It's all thought. Only difference is when you wake up from dream, you can recollect your dream experience and talk to other people. But when you come back from heaven, you cannot feel proud or express, feel proud of, boast, you cannot boast what all heavenly pleasures you enjoyed. That you cannot do. No, why? You will not remember anything. Whether you come back from heaven or you come back from the previous janma, this janma, nothing of the past can be remembered. If you all can remember our dream, suppose if we all went to heaven and because some limitation of punyam, we have come back to again human world and we all can remember our heavenly experiences. Imagine. We don't need to do anything else. Sit here and then close your eyes and I went there. How nice it was. You can only recollect those experiences and live in the joy of, pleasure of simply recollecting the pleasures. You can have that pleasure at least. That's what we are not. Bhagavan doesn't want us to have that joy, okay? And everything you forget, you don't even know. Suppose I ask you, have you ever gone to, how many of you remember? Have you ever visited heaven in your previous lives? Who can tell me? Sure, forget it, definitely. Yes, I did visit heaven. In my previous, no, not the previous, before the one. I visited heaven. Who can tell me? If it was somebody says, yes, I visited. Come on, what experience you had? You can tell, we all can say it's all called bluff because you cannot recollect nothing of your experience. You can't recollect anything of your experience. Okay? Therefore, for us to have the experience and to be able to remember the experience, to be able to recollect the experience, and to be able to reproduce, isn't it? Represent the experience, you must be living in this world with this nice human gross body. That is why human body is very precious. Even though we have a lot of problems, that's a different thing. But only this, you need this. Sthula must be there. Then that experience is what? That is why experience in this world is tangible. It's not thought, isn't it? Vasanamaya prapancha is different. Have I answered slightly at least your question? Have I? Because previously it sounded as though I was going out of the track, no? I was answering questions. It's okay now, isn't it? Any other question?
Could you say something about vasanas? But I don't understand the difference, if there is a difference, between vasana and samskara.
Yeah.
Well, they're obviously important.
Yeah. See, samskara is also vasana. But all the vasanas are not samskaras. Samskara is also called vasana. I tell you why. See, samskaraha means when you do something, when you start doing something, and anything you start doing, and naturally you become more inclined to do the same. That is the very nature of the course of action. Suppose if you see a slope of a place, a slopey place, if you pour it, they're all plain, the same. But you pour water in one place, and that water, when it falls, it will create what? Slowly there will be some trench-like, isn't it? Then the more water goes, then again the more water will go, start flowing there. It becomes a bigger trench. Isn't it? Like that, the karma also, any action for that matter, once you do, and you do it more, you become more inclined to do. And the more you be inclined to do, the more you do what you have done more, that becomes, that becomes samskara in you. I mean, you are already exposed to that given work. That is why any fine art, suppose we have some people now highly interested in arts, painting, drawing, singing, dancing, or any art, any work, anything they do, especially people are interested. So much interested. Some people are so much interested in dance, so much interested. They love to do that painting or any artwork, singing also. How is the difference? All of us are born together, but why all of us are not equally interested in singing, equally interested in dance, equally interested in music, equally interested in fine arts? Some people are interested in some certain things, not all. You are interested in one thing, I am interested in another thing. You like music, I like some painting. But both are two different types of fine arts, isn't it? Oh, I am not interested in singing. I am not interested in this. I am interested in singing. There's differences, but still interest, isn't it? That interest, how do you pick up? How do you get it? That is the proof. Your present interest in this life is the proof for what you were associated with, in your previous lives. Somewhere you must have touched. Even interest in Vedanta. How much you are associated with Vedanta now, that's okay, that's not a question. Somewhere you must have picked up some interest in already in previous lives. Otherwise you will not come and sit in the class. Anything you are interested in at present, in this life, the present life, all these interests in different things, is a continuation of your previous acquaintances and associations, your connections. Otherwise, one cannot suddenly become interested in something. Because previously you must have been involved in such activity. So whatever activities. So when did they exactly start? That you may not be able to say. Somewhere in some lifetime you started. Suppose sometimes what you had previously, what were inclined, what you involved in previous lives, that you didn't really, you started and you might have gone away. You come back with same interest. Even in this life also you are not really able to, you are interested but somehow you are not able to do it more. Then you pick up some, like this life continues, isn't it? And the more you involve yourself in the same thing, the more perfect you become. There is no absolute perfection. And some other life, again you continue this with what you were doing before. Again you become much more perfect. Much more perfect. Much more perfect. Like in every life also, suppose you started a few janmas before some music. The swaras, that time, Saba, it might have gone like this, even they might not have been same thing. At least one life. Sa, pa, sa. Papa Swaram get. Suddenly you see people like M.S. Subbulakshmi, Nityashri Mahadevan, Sudhar Raghunathan, Bhimsen Joshi, all this now, all so many musicians, they come and sit and sing. They sit like this. The throat inside, I used to think, inside some string is there, what? It goes like this. How Alaparam Gamakam and all goes, voice goes like this. This expression of samskara, isn't it? It's all perfection. It's not one janma's work. It is many janmantra, janma janmantra samskara means hard earned skill. Every life, they must have become more perfect, little more perfect, little more perfect, little more perfect. My God, amazing. Like, even there may be people who are much more perfect than these people whom we do not want. We know only this much. So to have such a thing, no, to be able to sing, or some people, just they walk, I know some dancers, very close associate with, because I have participated in many dance camps. No, as a Natyashastra instructors. I know they walk, and every time they do any class, Abhinaya, small things they show, everything is Abhinaya. Every so beautiful they press a touch and show. No? That was so elegant. The elegance, no, that how? Overnight one cannot get it. Again, it's all the body, in the body it is there. It's all expression of samskaras, not the body. It's already there in the mind. It comes out that the skill gets expressed like that. Okay? That's also where all that knowledge, skill, which one has earned, you know, the perfection, you know, the more they have done, the more they worked, the more perfect they are. You cannot say absolutely perfect. Nobody, we don't know. What is absolute perfection? We don't know. Isn't it? The better and better and better and better and better. Like that's every janma. Like the different skills in, even suppose, even interest in medicine. Somebody knows going for this particular professional course. Anything. Everything, there must have been already interest. One cannot suddenly, the doctor is not born newly. Already the work, there must have been previous janma samskara. Otherwise there won't be interest in particular thing. Suddenly, the doctor can give the example. Now, because my sister died of cancer, so I became interested in radiology. That maybe that's, the nimittam is sister's death. But interest was already pre-poor janmantra. The interest, no, what it triggered, the interest which is already in him was triggered by what? The nimittam. Instrumental was somebody's death. Then, okay, I go for this particular specialist study. Like that, no, that is called samskara. Samskara means, suppose the cultural. The way culture also we are so keen. In India, samskara means unless you do namaskaram now, you will not have that later on. It should become spontaneously, naturally, it must be inborn, something inborn in you. Something must become inborn in you. For which we train from the beginning. Suppose if you listen to nice slokas, they'll say, I haven't heard slokas at all. Please listen. By listening, repeatedly listening, it becomes a samskara. So refined expression of one's interests and actions. Expression of one's refinement. How refined you are in anything you do. Expression of one's refinement. In anything I do is called what? Samskara. Have you answered? Where is it again? It's in the form of thought only. Therefore it is a vasana. Anything which is in the form of a thought in a subconscious is a vasana. Vasana means intangible, imperceptible, subtle thought form is called vasana. All the skills, all the knowledge, where do you have? You don't even know where it is coming from. It's all in subconscious only. It's all refinement, isn't it? It's all become refined. So vasana means subtle, intangible, imperceptible thought form. It's a vasana. But in there is another word called vasana, means smell, flavor, all is vasana. Now because you see the flower, but the flavor, the fragrance, the smell, the stink, isn't it? It is subtle. Subtle means in terms of you can't see in a gross form, but you feel it, isn't it? This is called vasana. But generally vasana implies subtleness. The subtle existence. Anything exists subtle. Subtle existence of anything is called vasana.
If you look at the image of Jesus, I can understand what you said about samskara. That's good, and that really very nice and clear. But how does the individual jiva, how do they, as it were, gather vasana? How does that happen?
When they talk vasana, the collective vasanas means the accumulation of samskaras. See, everyone has vasana.
Yeah.
Every mind is a vasana only. When you say mind, the subtle thing, subtly existent, what in subtle existence is vasana only. Isn't it? Any mind is vasana. All the thoughts are vasanas. Your anger, your jealousy, your hatred, everything is vasana. Vasana means, see that when it surfaces, it's a vritti, thought, isn't it? It surfaces, it's the thought. It is, when it is not surfacing, it is in subconscious. When it doesn't surface, it is there or not? It is there, but it is as good as non-existent. Why? You are not affected by that. Suppose anger comes, jealousy comes, hatred comes, you know, or pain comes, pain also, different pain, some sort of pain, some unhappiness, unpleasantness. So they're all different vrittis, different vasanas only. Any thought is what? All vasanas only. But whatever comes in your mind, don't think it comes newly. That is the problem. Nothing comes newly, freshly it comes. No. Everything, all that which comes in your mind is already latent in your subconscious. That is vasana.
Is the manifestation of the vasana, is that what
you
would call
it? Yeah, vasana? The vasana, no. Samskara also. Suppose the skill in a given action, given thing, the efficiency, the perfection, the interest, they're all samskaras. They're all samskaras. Samskara is also in what form? Vasana, dham of vasanas only. In thought form only. In subtle form. Vasana means subtle form. Subtle means intangible, imperceptible. That's all. So, samskaras also are there. Good samskara, we say, bad samskara also we say. There's no bad samskara. Suppose, all bad habits, no? People develop. We call that all samskara. It's not samskara. What has gone into you, which comes back. This is expression of, that's called samskara. Water has gone in, is coming up. So already anger is, everything is there. So nobody can say, no, there is no anger at all. It comes from outside or what? It is somewhere latent, dormant. But something has to trigger that. Some situation becomes a triggering situation, it becomes triggered, niche surfaces. We only need triggering situations. And all of us will know who we are. Other person gets very, very angry. That time, oh my God, look at this. It's not at all right. And because your anger is not triggered. Lucky, that's why Bhagavan's grace. Some punyam. And something happened, your anger is triggered. Oh.
Is it correct to say that these are impressions in your subconscious from the previous birth? Is that correct?
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah. Subconscious comes as a past also. I'm very sorry. Pitiji told me definitely I should leave the place for 2:15, and then I'm already very late. We'll quickly move away from this place, okay? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.